Well, we just want to welcome you all once again to Kingdom Keys Bible Fellowship, the virtual edition. Hallelujah. You know, I want to share with you that in our last Bible study that we have, commercial break Tuesday nights, 6:30, right here, same place, same channel, that we have Bible study, 6:30 at night. And in our last Bible study, we were talking about, in the study, the fundamentals of the faith, lesson 11, we focused on a short lesson in evangelism. How to focus, this is what the lesson was on, it was how to focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The lesson gave us a few good tips on leading people to Christ, but it only provided us with the cliff notes. Now, I can't speak for everyone else that's on the line, but I can say for myself that cliff notes got me through more than just a few courses. Did I say just a few? However, I do want to tell you that there was always a few facts that were missing, and you got to bear with me one moment. I need to make a change here and let somebody else be in control here. I got to move back over here. Modern technology at its finest, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. It's kind of hard to do multiple things at one time. But I do want to tell you what the message of today is. Today is we're going to talk about the journey to the cross. We're not going to talk the cliff notes. We're going to tell you the story. Our scripture today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Our focal verse is going to be on verses 17 and 18. Shall we read them together? Verse 17 says, "Blessings, I will bless you and multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord as it is written. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask you, Lord God, to remove me, Heavenly Father, and let the Holy Spirit rule today, Lord God. Let the voice everyone hears be a voice from you, Lord God, as we walk through the journey to the cross. Lord, now have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, many times in our lives, somebody was always trying to share something very important with us. The problem is that we sometimes didn't want to hear what the people had to say. We wanted the cliff notes, be short about it, get to the point. But sometimes we need to see the big picture, the whole picture that a person is trying to present to us. So as I speak today, I'm going to talk about the big picture, the whole story. After we get the big picture, we can probably better understand the smaller points. The whole story with Jesus is that he loves you and me. You see, we are all sinners, and without Christ, we are doomed to a Christless eternity. As we consider studying the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we must consider the big picture. What Jesus did on the cross for you and me was not an afterthought. It was certainly not a knee-jerk reaction on the part of God. You see, sometimes when we get into a situation, we just jump at the first solution we have. But God had planned this all out. You see, again, I tell you, he was the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all things. I want to tell you the opposite is is in fact, it's true that God's plan in your life and for mine is that we spend time with Jesus. Romans 3 and 23 says that all, not some, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22 that we are all destined to die and go to an eternity without Christ because we are all in Adam. Now let me explain for a minute. Adam sinned and became separated from God. He was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. He was banished from God's presence. Let us consider the big picture as we celebrate communion today. So let us talk about this journey to the cross. We must first take note that the journey did not begin at the cross. It began when the world began. If we go to the book of John, in 1 John, John 1, 1 through 5, it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. Praise God. You see, this is an amazing fact. The fact that way back in the beginning, God always is. This is hard to comprehend because we are so limited in time and space. But John tells us that before time began, God was. Yes, God was. God was the beginning. Some people may use the old-fashioned expression, way back yonder. Now, y'all don't know because y'all are too young to know about that. But that can't come from... But that can't even come close to describing our eternal God. The incredible truth is that way back then, we find the Word. You see, the Word was Jesus. And Jesus was not only with God way back then, but Jesus is God. What this means is that we can now understand how it is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And Jesus frequently reminded His disciples that He was in fact God. The reality is that the cross was not an afterthought. This was an illustration in a sacrifice. It was told by the prophet Isaiah. But if we look back, we have another illustration as we stay in our text. As we look at the sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Let me read it. It says, Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So many people love this great story. It's an epic account of two aged people who yearn for a child of their own. There are so many lessons to be learned from their struggles, and especially their effort in taking matters into their own hand. Taking matters into their own hand. Now, some of us know about that. I have to tell you, sin has such dire consequences. Only God's way is perfect and right. Not my way and not yours. God's way. Nonetheless, God made a promise to Abraham, and God always keeps his promises. Isaac was born at their old age. Need I say, an impossible age. Abraham really, really, really loved Isaac. Anyway, when Abraham was told to go sacrifice his only son, now I need to stop right there. Wait a minute. Look, let's look at this picture. Here's Abraham. He is pushing 100 years old, and he's being told to sacrifice his only son. Hallelujah. But did you know that we serve a right on time God? You see, just before Abraham was to kill his only son, God intervened and provided a perfect sacrifice of the ram. You see, the ram was there. But Abraham didn't know it until God opened his eyes. You see, there he is, Jesus Christ, God's perfect sacrifice for you and for me on the cross. Just think about it. Need I remind you that this was spoken of the prophets back in the time of Isaiah? You see, Isaiah 9, verse 6 tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." If we keep moving in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, 3 through 9 tells us that he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, "We are all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. And the Lord has laid him the iniquity of us all." He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. The story before it occurred. You see, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now, I have to tell you, the prophets were men of God who foretold many great and wonderful things from the heart of God. In many instances, they spoke God's truth to those in their time who needed to hear what God had to say. They became spokesmen who prophesied concerning things to come and often told that a holy and righteous God had a store for mankind. But in the Old Testament, the Israelites had God in a box. They had to go to the temple to approach God. And they could only speak to God through the high priest. Isaiah let them know that God was not only able to be found, but also he was able to be called upon. All of this was made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So let's talk about the birth. The birth which was witnessed in a manger. What an incredible event. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, and announced as the Savior of the world, everything took place around that manger, pointed to everything that everybody would ever need in life. It was in this place that we see him, that the one who came because God, listen, he came because God so loved the world. Even the angels could not help but praise with God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men." You see, this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born to die for the sins of the world. So as I close today, many may be wondering why Jesus took part in a baptism. There are many reasons. Perhaps that everything he did, if we read the Gospels, everything he did was designed to show us, the believers, what we must do. But one very important thing happened at the baptism of Jesus. On that day, at that very hour, God spoke from heaven and affirmed his beloved Son. You see, the Cliff Notes tell us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. But the big picture walks us through the entire journey to the cross. The story of God's love for us. The one thing we ought to know is that God's blessings only come through his Son. That is why Jesus came to the world to die on that cross. He had to. There was no choice. He was the only way because he is the truth. And through him alone, we have life eternal. Won't you trust in him today? Praise the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts